Amen. I love Him. That's all I want to say. Psalm 99 in your King James Bible this evening. Begun this on Wednesday night. Thought maybe we'd be back on the gates, but feel like the Lord's give us direction to come back to Psalm 99. I can't wait to preach to you about the East Gate. And we got the East Gate and the Gate Mifkat left out of Nehemiah chapter 3. And the two wonderful, wonderful gates. But I think you know, if you've been around me, if you've been around this church in, amen, 6 months' time, I think and I pray that it shines through. We try to preach how God directs us. Ain't about what I want to give you. It's not about what I think you need. It's about what God has for us. And I believe if more pulpits across the land had men of God in them, and I don't claim to be a great one. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I do believe this, myself included, if more of us men of God would just rear back with a burden from God on our heart and preach it, no matter what it is, I believe they could be some fire back in the churches. And we sure do need that in these days. This psalm, blessed us on Wednesday, the reading of it, and trying to begin to preach what the Lord has laid on our hearts. Let's look at it again, and let's see if the Lord will give us something tonight. May only get a few verses more, and we'll just see. All right, let's stand together. Psalm 99 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions." This psalm ends the same way that the middle of the psalm in verse 5 stated, "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Amen. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, would you please help us tonight? You know every need of every heart, of every life, of every family, and of this very church. Would you meet those needs? In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. Psalm 99, in the reading of this psalm, you, I think, can clearly see it's in another one of those lines, in those veins of being a prophetical psalm penned by David, no doubt describing the Lord Jesus in his coming earthly kingdom. And so many of these psalms in this part of the book of Psalms, in this Hebrew hymn book, are dealing with the fact that Jesus is coming and he's going to rule and reign from the earth. And he is going to establish a kingdom, and all of that is in days to come. Charles Spurgeon, I told you on Wednesday night, referred to this psalm and called it the Sanctus Psalm. The Sanctus Psalm, Sanctus implying a sanctified psalm, and he referred to it as the Sanctus Psalm for the threefold emphatic statements concerning the holiness of God. David in Psalm 99 referenced in verse number 3 that the name of the Lord is great and terrible, and he said, "For it is holy." He just simply says, "For he is holy," in the end of verse number 5. And in the closing line of verse number 9, David said, "For the Lord our God is holy." And so we have a threefold emphatic statement of the holiness of God. Amen. David is saying what the cherubims were saying when the heavens rolled back in the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah seen all that was going on in glory. And he said those angels cried out day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And so that would be the theme of Psalm 99. Amen. In fact, that's the theme from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. That Jesus is a holy God. That, amen, we serve a thrice holy God. Amen. One author, one preacher made this statement about the three mentions of the holiness of God in Psalm 99. He said, that's no mistake. He said, for this psalm is emphasizing the Father is holy and the Son is holy and the Spirit of the Lord, He is holy. Amen. I'd have no problem. Amen. I'd have no problem making that statement tonight. Amen. For our God is holy. Amen. He's holy in His ruling, verses 1, 2, and 3. Holy in His judgment, verses 4 and 5. And holy in His working, in verses 6 through verse number 9. I told you that one preacher made mention of Psalm 99. And he said that this psalm declares Christ as the Lord who is to come, verses 1 through 3, the Lord who is, verse 4 and 5, and the Lord who was, verses 6 through 9. Amen. That why when I think of this psalm in light of that, amen, I'm reminded of what Jesus testified of concerning Himself. I'm He which was and is to come. Amen. He that was and is to come. And no doubt this psalm is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The fact that, my friend, He is the one that, amen, the Scripture indeed is all about. Now, Psalm 99, to get our thought quickly that we want to preach, Psalm 99 is in this, it's the last psalm that is in that section of Psalms. It has been divided by the Hebrews, Psalm 93 through 99, as those Psalms that seem particularly dedicated to the fact of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. We read in Psalm 93 through 99, as we've studied those Psalms and are now in 99, amen, that they emphasize the fact that our God is the Lord. And He is in charge and He is upon a throne. In fact, Psalm 99 is the last of three psalms sprinkled throughout this section of Psalms that begins with the reminder, the Lord reigneth. In fact, Psalm 93 and in verse number 1, the beginning of this section of Psalms, that it seems dedicated to magnifying the Lordship of Christ. It begins with that statement, the Lord reigneth. And so we said on Wednesday night, it's as though David, as he pens this section of five or six psalms here, that he begins by reminding the people of God, the Lord is on the throne. Amen. Before he ever says anything and addresses anything he's going through, or anything that is to come down the way, amen, David begins with the insight and the spiritual discernment, amen, reminding himself and all of us these many, many years later that the Lord is on the throne. Amen. He's going to talk about things that are happening in his life. He's going to talk about storms that he has encountered and enemies that have come against him. He's going to talk about situations of darkness, sad, and times of fear and times of dread. And he comes back in Psalm 97 in verse number 1, and he gives the reminder again, amen, that the Lord reigneth. Amen. In spite of all that I've been through, I want to go on record and say again, amen, the Lord reigneth. The Lord is on His throne. Amen. In Psalm 97 and 98, amen, David begins to recall some things that are to come. Amen. He's going to talk about evil arising on every hand. He's going to talk about evildoers and wickedness and darkness that, amen, seems to be getting by with sin. Amen. In Psalm 98, he's going to sing about and write about the salvation of the Lord and the sea roaring and the fullness of it, my friend, everywhere. It just seems like there's a storm. And then we come to Psalm 99, and in verse number 1, as he's bringing all of this to a close, and he brings us back to that statement again, the Lord reigneth. Amen. He reigned when David began to write. Amen. He reigned still when David had encountered the heathens and the evildoers. Amen. And it's as if David, coming to a close in this section, Brother Jack, is reminding us that the Lord is still on the throne. And so in light of all of that laid down, that's what we're preaching from Psalm 99. Amen. The Lord is still on the throne. Can I remind you tonight? Amen. He's the one when all this thing began was on the throne. Amen. When man plunged himself into sin, and the devil, my friend, became the god of this world. And my friend, all the effects of the curse and of sin, and all the evildoers that have arisen throughout the course of human time. Amen. Oh, the Lord has always been on the throne. And here we come tonight to the last days. These times have been prophesied to be perilous times and dangerous days. Days of abandoning the faith. Days of, amen, laying down the sword. And days where, my friend, that love for iniquity has arisen, and a respect and reverence for God is at an all-time low. Amen. I come to remind us from Psalm 99 again tonight. Amen. This has not changed heaven one bit. Amen. It has not changed the fact that the Lord is still on the throne. You say, but preacher, they're rioting in the streets. They're raising the devil in our day. Amen. That doesn't matter, friend. That don't change who our God is. He's still on the throne. He'll always be on the throne. And what a blessed assurance in our heart. And no matter what we face in these uncertain times, amen, let famine come, let pestilence come, let earthquakes happen, let wars break out. Amen, let the earth and all its foundations crumble. Our Lord is still on the throne. In Psalm 99, I think if there's any theme that, amen, could be emphasized, it is, amen, the Lordship of Christ in light of the fact that He is still on the throne. Amen, you say, but preacher, things ain't going too well in my life and in my family. It don't matter, friend, the Lord's still on the throne. Amen, you say, preacher, it's been a long time since I've been able to see it by faith. Amen, that ain't changed anything, whether you can see it or not. Amen, the Lord's still on the throne. You say, it don't feel like it. Amen, I ain't a preaching on how we feel tonight. Amen, I'm just preaching the simple declaration, Brother Larry, that the Lord reigneth. David is saved. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, what it seems like, and how it looks like it's all going to turn out in the end. Amen, David said, the Lord is still on the throne. Amen, and so with that in mind, let's consider this psalm again tonight. Amen, the Lordship of our Savior tonight. Amen, we look at verses 1, 2, and 3, the perception of His Lordship. I don't have time to bog down here again tonight. Amen, but the perception of His Lordship, this psalm begins with that simple declaration for people to turn to heaven and see the Lord still upon His throne. Amen. No greater way to begin this psalm, no greater way And to begin the psalm that ends his section. Amen. Is just making the declaration, the Lord reigneth. Amen. In other words, David is saying, you've got to see this. Amen. You got to get your eyes open to this thought. Amen. There's a perception that is involved. Amen. That we must see the fact that, amen, our Lord doth reign tonight. Amen. I'm glad tonight he's still on the throne. I'm glad. Amen, that I can see it tonight. Now you may have to tell me tomorrow. Amen, it may get veiled to me again. Amen, for the weeks out. Amen, but right now tonight I'm a feeling pretty good in my soul, Jesse. And I can tell you I perceive that, amen, in fact the Lord reigneth. Amen, every now and then you've got to see this. Amen. It requires us lifting our eyes from off of this plane. Amen. And looking heavenward beyond our circumstances. Amen. Beyond all that is going on around us. Amen. And looking through all of this. And if you tonight by faith could see heaven. Amen. Can I remind you the Lord reigneth? That is what you would see. You'd not see some old man upstairs with white hair. Amen. Pulling at his hair and biting his fingernails off you. You'd not see a God sitting upon a throne that, amen, was asking Gabriel to pass his prescription of Valium pills because his nerves are tore up wondering what he's going to do. Oh no, friend, there must be a perception, amen, whereby the child of God sees for himself, herself, themselves, that indeed the Lord reigns tonight. Amen. This perception begins to, amen, come into view in the heart of David. Amen. And he makes some statements here. And we draw from this that as we perceive, amen, God help me tonight, as we perceive, amen, that he is reigning, amen, that ought to have an effect in our life. Amen. We said on Wednesday night, number one, verse one, it ought to stir us. Amen. The Lord reigneth. David said, so somebody ought to tremble. Amen. The Lord is sitting between the cherubims. And so David said, let the earth be moved. In other words, that ought to stir us. Amen. That ought to move us. That ought to shake us. Amen. That ought to do something to the inside of our heart. Amen. To excite us to a passion. Amen. For the Lord in these days. Amen. In fact, the word move that is in the end of verse number one means to excite into action and from a state of rest. Amen. Oh, somebody ought to get stirred today. Amen. That no matter what you're going through, whatever has rocked you to sleep. Amen. Whatever has caused you to be at ease in Zion today. Amen. Oh, then the heavens would roll back. And you would say, and I would be aware of tonight that the Lord is still on his throne, that ought to stir us. And then he said in verse number two, it ought to size us. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you're here Wednesday night, amen, this seemed to be where the Lord settled us in at. Amen. It ought to size us. Amen. The Lord is great. Amen. David didn't say, because the Lord's on the throne, Jerusalem's great. He did not say Zion was great. He did not say Jacob was great. He did not say Israel was great. Amen. Oh, when he seen the Lord reigned and was still on the throne, amen, David had to fall, amen, in the right size before a God that is great. Amen. It's as though David is saying, he is great and I am small. Amen. He is big and he is everything and I am nothing. Amen. Oh, my friend, if we can see the Lord reigning tonight, amen, it would cause humility in our heart and my friend, cause us to be in our rightful place. Amen. You're not great tonight because you come to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. You're not great tonight because you have learned all the rules and regulations and the laws that and even live by it. Amen. Those things that you have been given. Oh no, friend. Amen. You take the grace of God out of our life. You take Him off the throne. Amen. And we're nobodies headed nowhere other than to the place called hell. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, as a child of God, what sizes me, amen, to be small in the eyes of God is when I realize, amen, the greatness of the One that's still on the throne. Amen. And boy, we could cut loose and preach there again tonight. Amen. Then we said that this perception should summon us. Verse 3, as David says, the response that, amen, would be proper and right and in order for the child of God when they see the Lord reigning is that they are being summoned to praise the Lord. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. And so David said, amen, the Lord reigneth. He's still on the throne. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. Amen. David said, in light of him ruling and reigning, amen, your response ought to be, amen, to worship him and glorify him. Amen. And tap into the greatness of his name and tell everybody you can how great God is. Amen. Amen. The perception of his lordship. Let's move to number 2 for just a moment. Amen. I didn't really preach it. I just kind of mentioned it as we was closing. But, amen, I see in this psalm the Lord is still on the throne. The perception of his lordship. But notice with me in verse number 4 now, I see the perfection of his lordship. The Bible said, David writing, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity, thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Amen. And so this verse brings into view the previous statement about the Lord's name and the fact that His name, it is holy. When we think about God being holy, Brother Joe, we are reminded that that speaks of His sinless perfection. And there is no fault in our God, the One that rules and reigns tonight. Amen. He is not a man. He is not made of the earth. He is not made of the seed of Adam. Oh no, friend, it is He, we'll learn in the next song, that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Said, amen, in His ruling and reigning tonight. Amen. When we think about the One that is still on the throne, amen, He is absolutely perfect. Amen. He's never made a mistake. He never has had a blemish. Amen. He's never had a fault laid to His record. He's never committed a transgression. Amen. He is the holy God, and in righteousness and perfection He rules and reigns. And so we come to verse number 4. Amen. Bringing into it, amen, the truth in the previous verse. Amen. And I believe that verse number 4, amen, enlarges upon the perfections of our Savior, who indeed is still on the throne. Amen. And so consider those with me for a moment tonight. Amen. We'll find here in verse number 4 the perfection of His Word. Amen. The One who is still on the throne, the Bible said, amen, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Amen. He said, thou executest judgment. And so twice we read the word judgment. Amen. This word judgment in the Old Testament, amen, is the verdict of God. And that God has pronounced in His Word. Amen. It is what you say, verdict about what? Amen. Verdict about anything God has said. Amen. And so in a generation, amen, that is trying to rewrite the rules and rewrite the laws of God, I think we need to understand tonight that the Lord's still on the throne and His Word is perfect. Amen. And He don't need you adding to it, and He don't need me taking away from it. And what God has said, and what God has said originally, and what God has penned for us in the King James Bible, amen, He is still on the throne, and His Word is a perfect Word. Amen. It's a dangerous thing for sinful men and imperfect men, amen, to go messing with the word of a perfect Lord. Somebody help me preach. Amen. I'm talking about the perfection of His Word. Amen. I'm glad tonight I can trust what the one on the throne said. Amen. You say, preacher, you act like everything's all right in this world, that everything ain't all right yet. Amen. You know why there's any thimbleful of that in me tonight? Amen. I'm a trust in what He said in His Word. Amen. His Word's told me everything's going to be all right. His Word has told me that there's a way, amen, a way for me to walk in, and I'm doing the best I can. And as I do, His Word blesses me along the way. Amen. The perfection of His Word. Amen. Oh, would to God. Amen. We can see tonight. Amen. The perfection of the Word of the one that is on the throne. Amen. I don't need another word tonight. I need no other argument, one songwriter said. Amen. I need no other argument tonight. Amen. What God has said, God has meant. Amen. And you can take what He said to the bank. Amen. In fact, the Word of God itself teaches you an act. Amen. That it is impossible that God could even lie. Amen. What He has said is indeed truth. Amen. Jesus praying in John 17 said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. I'm not believing a lie tonight. I'm not believing some man-made opinion tonight. I'm believing in the Word of the one who's still on the throne, and His Word is as perfect as He is. Let me say that again. His written Word is as perfect as the living Word. Amen. Jesus had no fault in Him. Jesus, my friend, had no blemish in Him. Jesus had no stain in His life. Amen. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, amen, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And He spake later on down in verse number 14 and said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And what was the living Word? He was full of grace and truth. That's the living Word, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we don't have the living Word here in bodily form tonight. Amen. But you know what we do have? Amen. We've got the written Word. Amen. And you know what I find when I'm about to have a spell? Amen. Brother Tim, you know what I find? Amen. When I handle this blessed old book tonight, amen, I find the glory of the only begotten of the Father. I find a source that's full of grace and full of truth. Amen. I find the light I need in a dark world. I find the bread for my hungry soul. Amen. I find a drink of water. Amen. In a dry and a thirsty land. Thank God. His Word is perfect. Perfection of His Word. Amen. How we doing tonight? Amen. The perfection of the one who's still on the throne. We see the perfection of His Word. Amen. And we say a word tonight. I ain't going to make it out of verse 4 if we don't hurry on. Amen. There's the perfection of His waiting. Amen. The Bible said the king's strength also loveth judgment. And then notice something that David said. We hit on this in the previous psalm. And evidently it's on David's heart. Amen. Because he brings it right back up. The Bible said, thou dost establish equity. That word equity is something you're hearing a lot of in these days. Everybody's talking about equity. They're going to bring equity. They're looking to the government for equity. They're looking to society to bring equity. Yeah. And there's been a change. There was a time in our land, amen, just a few years ago, you didn't hear the word equity. You heard the word equality. Equality. And I'm fine with equality. Amen. Equality reminds us, amen, that the ground is level. That, amen, there are no big guys and little U's. It don't matter what side the track is born off. Amen. It don't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender. Amen. It doesn't matter. Listen, we're all God's creation. And before the throne of God, amen, all men stand on equal ground. But in this day of hearing the message of equity, there's a great, great danger. Why? Because when men try to bring equity, amen, when they try to bring equity, they're, amen, they are stained, they are imperfect. And many times to try to bring about inequity, that of correcting a past injustice. I'm not saying there hadn't been injustices. I'm not saying that there hadn't been some things done wrong along the way. When men try to bring equity, you have imperfect men, amen, trying to right wrongs, which always, amen, bring about an injustice against somebody else. You can't take reprobate politicians and expect them to mete out a perfect equity. Somebody help me now. You say who you preaching against? I'm preaching against every last ever loving one of them in D.C. I don't care what their initial are after their name. Amen. I don't care who it is and what they're preaching in other churches. Amen. Equity is something that only God can mete out. David seems to be saying, Lord, thou dost establish equity. You say, preacher, what are you saying? That there's the perfection of his waiting. It's as though David, as he looks and he sees the Lord is reigning. Amen. Now listen, we've all had injustices done to us. Amen. I hate all the junk we hear in our day. Amen. I heard somebody say, amen, all in the midst of all this transgender garbage going on in our day. By the way, it is garbage. I heard one man say on one of these talk shows, amen, I got a kick out of it because he's exactly right. He said, all this transgender movement, he said, them people better, amen, not be trying to morph into a white male. In these days, they're not real popular right now. Ain't that right? Amen, you better be careful. He said, you ought to probably, amen, I won't get into all he said, but he said some pretty true things, and he is a colored man saying it. Amen. We're in a day where there's so much being spewed around to divide people over injustices and how are we going to make all this right. I'm going to tell you the way America could have peace tonight and unity tonight. I'm going to tell you the way that we can move forward and, amen, get over all that they're trying to do to divide us tonight. Amen, it's for America to look up and realize the Lord's on the throne. And some of this stuff ain't going to get straightened out on this side. All we can do is the best we can and walk in the knowledge we have and the light we've been given. And my friend, in the end, trust and wait on God to bring equity to all of these things we're dealing with. I don't trust myself to mete out equity. Amen. Ain't we having a time? Preacher, I've been done wrong. Somebody said something to me they shouldn't have said. Somebody treated me a certain way. Amen. I'm going to tell you what to keep you from being bitter, or to keep you, my friend, from living the rest of your Christian life. Amen. From here to glory, dragging your tracks out. Amen. Being identified with some wrongdoing in your life. Amen. Is to get a hold of the thought. Amen. The Lord is still on the throne and He rules and reigns in a perfect way. Amen. The day will come, all the wrongs will be made right. Amen. And on that day, you may or you may not get what you thought you had. God may shock all of us. God may shine more light on the situation and we'll realize we didn't know all the stuff we thought we knew. Somebody help me preach. I ain't got time to sit around sucking my thumb about, Amen. Somebody done me wrong. Amen. Why would I want to do that when he's, I feel like preaching today, when he's still on the throne, I can trust him today. He knows what I've been through. He knows what's been done to you. Amen. Oh, sometimes we have to rest in the perfection of his waiting. He'll make it all right in time to come. Amen. Be a good day in our life when we realize we don't have to straighten out every lie that's been told. Amen. I tell you right now, my name means something. I'm not belittling our name. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what you better learn to do. You better learn to trust God with your name. And if folk got to be talked to, sometimes we got to talk about it, but you'll spend the rest. I feel like I'm preaching in the right hole here. I need this. If we ain't careful, we'll spend our days, amen, nursing our wounds over all the wrongs that have been committed to us. And God's in heaven saying, I know all about it, child. I know all about it. I got the record more clear than you can even recall it. He'll bring, my friend, he'll bring and establish an equity that in the end will be perfect. Is that right? I know where I'm at. I'll preach, amen, I'll preach this anywhere. I'm getting fired up about it. Amen. In the perfection of the word, of his word, the one who's still on the throne, we see the perfection of his word and the perfection of his waiting. And then notice with me, there is the perfection of his working. He speaks here and says, thou executest judgment. And then notice what he said, and righteousness in Jacob. Ain't that interesting? Say, preacher, God done away with Jacob a long time ago. God made Jacob Israel, the prince with God. Yeah, but Israel a lot of days still acted like old Jacob. Amen. Let's be honest. God done away, amen, with the man we used to be when the day he saved us. But ain't it amazing how many days we act like that old man? Oh boy, I'm telling you. Do y'all realize every time I get in one of these psalms, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? Amen. Righteousness in Jacob. The reminder here is, amen, that we serve a God that is perfect in his workings. And there is a righteousness, there is a rightness in the way that he deals with those who oftentimes are wrong. Amen. You know what I'm thankful for tonight? There ain't ever been one thing God's ever done to me that's been wrong. God has never done me wrong. Brother Tim, you quoted the verse this morning that, amen, about our steps being ordered of the Lord. That, amen, that the other verse I had in my mind, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Amen, it is God that is in control of my life. Amen, I don't always like the way that he leads. I don't always enjoy, amen, the path he leads me down. Amen, there have been a lot of paths he was leading the way. Amen, that was hard or painful, Lord. Amen, the experience is that, amen, we're not very enjoyable, but at the end of the day, I'm a looking back. I'm a viewing it tonight by faith, and I can say, the Lord has never one time led me wrong. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me where? In the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't care what you're facing tonight and how busted your heart may be, how broken you may feel, amen, with the life that God has led you, the path that God has led you down in life. Amen, I'm telling you tonight, he's still on the throne. Amen, he is perfect in his working. His name is holy. You'll not find a blemish. Amen, you may not understand it all tonight. Amen, it may not make sense right now where you sit. Amen, the path you're walking in right now, amen, it may confuse you. But I assure you on the authority of His perfect word that His workings are perfect in your life. Righteousness. Righteousness in Jacob. Ain't you glad when we act like Jacob, God still does us right? Amen. You know what the older doing sometimes. Amen. Sometimes we feel the chastening hand of God. Amen. Sometimes we feel that weight of the load. Amen. The whipping or the whooping. Amen. Those of us raised old time country youngins. Amen. Sometimes we get that whooping. Amen. Not whippings, but whoopings. Amen. That whooping's far, far more impactful than these whippings. Amen. I just wish some parents would give out a few whippings in this day. Amen. We'll work up the whoopings if we have to. This timeout business ain't doing much. Amen. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. Amen. Amen. Even when God is whooping the daylights out of me, He's still doing me right. Amen. Even when I've acted like Jacob, God has to treat me as a son that He's turned and gone my own way and try to straighten me out and get me back on the right path. Amen, He lays chastisement into our life. I'm telling you tonight, the workings of our Lord who's still on the throne, they're always right. Amen. Perfect, perfect. Amen. You said, preacher, I don't like where I'm at right now. I'll be honest with you. Been a lot of days I ain't liked where I've been. Amen. I've watched precious friends of mine lose little babies tragically. And in their babies' funerals, lift their hands and worship God. How in the world do you do that? How do you do that? I watch that, Bobby, I watch that from a distance, and that just does not compute with my mind, other than to say, somewhere in the midst of all that heartache and all of that pain, they get their eye on the fact the Lord's still on the throne. They can say, I may not understand it till I get to glory, but even in this kind of a situation, God has never done me wrong. God, help us to understand the perfection of His Lordship. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to end there. I'm out of steam, y'all. Amen. I've run out of gas. I'm on the side of the road. Somebody go get me some fuel. Amen. Ain't you glad the Lord's still on the throne? Amen. I preach my heart to you. You say, preach, that's only one verse. I hope we've milked it for all that it's worth. And you can go home tonight and say, may not know much, but I know something about Psalm 93, verse number 4. Amen. Perfect. He's perfect. We'll pick it up next time the Lord leads us. And we'll look at the proofs of His Lordship. And then we'll, we'll look at the preeminence of His Lordship about what it is to exalt Him over who He is. Amen. That sound good? Amen.